Thanks for listening to Behind the Bike Shed. Just to let you know, you can sponsor this or any other programme on Cambridge 105 Radio. Email sales@cambridge105.co.uk.
Behind the Bike Shed with Phil Minot on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello and welcome to Behind the Bike Shed Cycle Show, and the age of the bicycle is upon us. Cycle sales are booming, key workers are relying on bicycles to get to work, families are dusting off their bicycles hidden in their sheds and saddling up to keep healthy and for their mental well-being. An extra £1 billion for cycle infrastructure. Basically, the whole nation is falling in love with the bicycle. So hello and welcome, and thank you very much for tuning in for Behind the Bike Shed Cycle Show. This is the start of our full season of programs coming your way, and obviously because we're now living in COVID-19 crisis times, we're not all together as we usually would be. So I'm currently looking at a screen of five smiley faces, all sitting in their various caves and bicycle sheds and all sorts of things. Anyway, so joining me today in today's programme, Roxanne Dubow, Executive Director of CAM Cycle, Mary Twitchett, who is a former elite international athlete and now an elite cycle coach, Keith Moore, track and road cyclist, a member of the City Cycle Centre Cycle Club, and former pro football player, whose dad, as it happened, used to be a former manager of Cambridge United. Martin Holland is a mountain biker, road cyclist, and a very active member of the very active Ely Cycling Club. And also, as always, it wouldn't be Behind the Bike Shed if we weren't joined by our mechanicking Rob, as we like to call him. It's Rob Turner, Outspoken Cycles, and you'll be able to hear very soon how, if you work for the NHS, how you can get yourself hold of a free bicycle, because Rob has three more bicycles, a trio of bicycles to give to key workers in the NHS. And award-winning architect Tristan Rees-Roberts has volunteered to be our guest on a bicycle to take part in our Spin That Wheel quiz.
Behind the Bike Shed on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Roxanne, I mean, key workers, a lot of them are cycling, aren't they?
Absolutely. I've not been out to see for myself, but I've heard that all 3,000 or so cycle parking spaces at Addenbrookes are still full. So it's very clear that people are still cycling to work.
And Rob, I understand you work in Outspoken Cycles, and you guys have been actually helping NHS workers.
Yes, we've been doing free repairs for NHS staff and central workers, and we've been donated several bicycles by very kindly people. We've serviced them up and been giving them to staff who need bikes. We had a lady who had one stolen the other day, so we replaced it. But we've still got three left. So if there's anyone you know of, NHS staff, who need a bicycle, we've got three to give away.
Okay, so if anyone's listening and they just need to contact you, Rob Turner, Outspoken Cycles, yeah?
Yeah, that's great. And remember the free servicing. We're trying to keep everyone going. So free servicing, we do charge cost price on any parts that we need, but all the servicing's free. So please take advantage of that.
Yeah, well done. And I know other cycle shops are doing the same as well. So, you know, we salute you all. I've just remembered another Behind the Bike Shed contributor, of course, who is working NHS, and that's Connor, I think. Is that right, Mary?
Yeah. No, He was working with us. Now he's working with the Exams Institute.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. Well, yeah, they'll be back working soon. Okay. Now, Roxanne, we've got loads to get through, haven't we? Because I know that you and your team, while the rest of us have been isolating, you've been very busy, haven't you?
We have been so busy. It started out okay. At the start of lockdown, we had to cancel all of our events for the year. So the Reach Ride, which should have been on Sunday, was cancelled. Our Festival of Cycling was cancelled. So at first our workload was reduced, but very, very quickly, as we expected, cycling is now a very hot topic and will be key to getting our nation moving again. So behind the scenes, we've been preparing for this, waiting for when councillors and so on were ready to hear our ideas for cycling. And actually, things have happened so quickly with the Prime Minister just last week saying that now should be the new golden age of cycling. And the mayor of Cambridgeshire and Peterborough, James Palmer, has tweeted that we should be looking at pop-up cycle lanes. And we're now contributing to lots and lots of ideas to the county council. They've gone to the mayor. They have gone to the prime minister. So the things that people are contributing to CamCycle to help us with these plans have helped shape the strategies and the funding that has recently been announced. So we were frantically doing that last week. And on Saturday, the Transport Secretary Grant Shapps announced £2 billion for cycling with a £250 million emergency fund. And that came with a whole raft of encouraging policy announcements that really the government is expecting local authorities to get on and make space for cycling and walking so that we can get moving again. We've never heard this kind of thing from the government before. This is something very different.
How do I say it without being political? Are they serious?
It is political.
Are they serious about this? It's not just something done to, you know, just throw us off the scent a little bit of other things, perhaps, which perhaps could have been delivered slightly better in some people's opinion.
So far it looks positive, and speaking to many, many other people in this industry, in campaigning, in transport planning, everybody is saying this feels different, but also grain of salt. Let's actually see what happens. Let's see when things start appearing on the ground. We still don't know how that money gets distributed or allocated. And while £2 billion sounds incredible, that's money that was already allocated to cycling in February. So this isn't new money. It's just the strength with which it's being delivered right now that feels quite different. And £2 billion, you know, we still have £27 billion of road building money that's apparently been left alone. And given the scale of change that might be expected, it's probably not enough. But at the moment, we're focusing on, we're getting the right message. We've got these expectations. We're getting a national cycling commissioner. We're getting a cycling inspectorate. We're getting very clear instructions about what local authorities should be doing. This was different. It still comes down to the local authorities to actually do something, however. So CamCycle's campaigning, our Spaces to Breathe campaign, is still very, very relevant. We're still asking people to sign our open letter to show our decision makers that they will support these kinds of changes, particularly those urgent changes to create safe space for people to move around our city. So I urge everybody to get onto our website, www.camcycle.org.uk/spaces-to-breathe, so they can get on and find out a lot more, sign our open letter. We've also got a form where we want suggestions for where improvements could be made. And these are being passed on to the council. They are being put into a bigger strategy. And we want people from Cambridgeshire and Peterborough to be contributing, because this is a region, not a city, that needs these kinds of changes.
So to sum up, this is extra money. So we can, presumably being the cycling centre of the UK currently per head of population anyway, do you feel we're going to get a lot of that money is going to come our way, percentage wise?
Well, at the moment we look to be behind other cities. Other local authorities are already doing stuff. At the moment, Cambridgeshire doesn't really have anything on the ground. I think we've had a few signs in places where, to be frank, more bold schemes could have been implemented. So at the moment, Cambridgeshire is behind. We should have been working on this already. This was inevitable. However, it's not done yet. We don't know how the government's allocating that money, but 250 million could be snapped up very, very quickly across England. So let's see. Let's find out how they're allocating it. Let's see who puts in the strongest bids. But at the moment, I think that Cambridgeshire is a bit behind other places.
Martin, I'm going to bring you in on this, because you are sort of based. I should have said this at the beginning. We're actually all talking to each other via Zoom. So I do apologise if there's a few, the occasional breakup. And I have to say, Roxanne, you're drinking a lot of wine.
It's been that kind of week. I have not stepped away from my computer all day. This is my glass of wine.
We forgive you. You're doing well. Martin, where you are... And you've got a lovely, lovely bicycle shed there, haven't you? And you sent me a picture earlier. You've also got a motorbike as well somewhere, yeah. What I was going to say to you, Martin, do you feel as someone who is living, I mean, you're sort of living near Ely, aren't you? Do you feel as someone who lives out there, do you feel there should be more money in Cambridgeshire spent out more towards the villages?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, why there's a desperate, I think there's a desperate need for a cycle link between Ely and Cambridge. I mean, I work in Cambridge normally, and there's a few people attempting to bike down the A10 in the morning and an evening when I come home, and that is an absolute nightmare. Some form of cycle route between Ely and Cambridge would be a godsend. I'd even ride to work then, but I definitely don't want to bike down the A10 or the 20 pence road, because that would be an absolute nightmare. So, definitely some money spending.
And that's quite interesting, isn't it? Because you are an enthusiastic cyclist, thinking, and you do cycle, you know, you're a good cyclist, and you seem to know how to control your bicycle when I've been out with you. But the thing is, someone like you, you just there's no way I'm going to cycle on the road like that. You want segregated passageway, really, don't you?
No, I mean, I tend not to use cycle paths if I can help it, especially at the moment, because there's a lot of people walking on them, and it's just not fair for when people are walking, do you try and squeeze past? You can't maintain a decent distance. So I'm using the road, especially at the moment, but I wouldn't want to bike down some of the busier roads.
I mean, that's true. Mary, going to drag you in on this, because Martin sort of stumbled onto the current situation we're on when he was saying he doesn't really want to be on a cycle path. What do you think cyclists should be doing for their own well-being health-wise at the moment in isolation and lockdown, and also for other people's health and well-being while they're cycling?
Well, I think it's very important, as the government initiative, that exercise is really out there. And, you know, cycling is so important for the health. I mean, it's low impact, there's less strain on the body. You know, you're using your major muscle groups, and if you're using your major muscle groups, then you're burning more energy. And, you know, it's a fun family activity. And so if you're cycling as a family, then that's fine to have a group of mum and dad and the children. But I really, really get upset when I see like four people cycling together. That is not the restriction at the moment. You know, somebody said isolate or intubate my nursing colleagues. You know, the coronavirus is still out there, and it really is not okay to ride in groups. I have been out once, and that was with a work colleague who I see, but we distanced at 2 meters. And I think if you are going out with one other person, then that should be the same person. It shouldn't be from a different bundle of friends, because that different bundle of friends brings different, you know, chances of the virus around. So I think it's very much, yes, you know, from Wednesday, definitely you can go out with a friend, but it must be just the friend, not a different friend on Saturday and a different friend on Sunday. And, you know, groups of four are not permissible unless you're in a family or you all live together. And it's pretty obvious that all these people don't live together. And that's really upsetting. And it's really upsetting for anybody who works in the front line. You know, they're working so hard, and they would love to be out on their bike instead of doing a 12-hour shift, but they won't be not doing their 12-hour shifts.
I'm glad you said that, actually, because I had, unconnected to cycling, I had occasion to be in Papworth Hospital, and I was obviously in the clean area. And I have to say, when you go in and you see through the doors what's going on behind the scenes in the, in the crisis area, shall we say, it really is, it just makes you double take, really, and you realise how bad this is for a lot of people. And I guess that's the thing. Keith, now you're very much a sort of club cyclist, aren't you? You love going out with people and stuff. How have you been dealing with this at the moment?
I just want to cover a couple of points, I suppose, with what Mary was on about. I mean, I'm over at Bedford at the moment, and I go out with Pauline fairly frequently. And I honestly can say, I don't think we've seen a group of cyclists at all. The only groups we've seen have been families. So I think, Mary, you were just unlucky to see some, because I go out at the moment pretty much every day, because I'm furloughed from work. Weather's been stunning, so pretty much I'm out on the roads, and I'll be doing 40, 50, 60 miles. And during that time, I haven't seen anything, you know, like you've relayed there at all. But from my perspective, I haven't actually suffered. It's been the only thing I've really suffered with is that this year I was hoping to get racing again. And of course, with all this happening now, that's off the card. So motivation's been quite difficult at times. But I've managed to sort of get out and do the work. And in fact, I've done some high intensity work as well to make sure that, you know, that I'm not good, if it suddenly kicks off, that I'm going to be in reasonable shape to maybe get back into it. But as you were mentioning earlier, the hardest bit is probably it's psychological as much as anything. But
yeah, I
just think actually one of the best things about this time is seeing how many families and how many children are out cycling. It's incredible. Our street is different. It's you see people walking, scooting, cycling. My next door neighbour, she's finally learned how to ride a bike. She's 8 and they've finally had that time to go out, learn to ride a bike. And she's gone within a week of learning to ride a bike. She's going from the centre of Cambridge all the way to Shelford to change houses between her parents. This is amazing. And I think so many children are really going to remember this time as just a complete, as Boris Johnson said, a golden age of cycling. And I think the important thing now is how do we keep that sense of safety and space and family togetherness that we've all had a taste of. We need to change the infrastructure. We need that pop-up temporary cycle lanes. That's what the £250 million is for, but we need to do it now and we're taking too long. We have to act now, so please help us campaign.
And I think, Roxanne, one of the things that you were campaigning for was the cycle route of how cyclists go through the railway station. You know, that's still really a confusing issue, but that really links, you know, the north of the city to the south of the city, and that must be a vital route.
I can't believe we almost done 20 minutes without mentioning the railway station and cycle access in Cambridge. Well done, team. Hey, started off already, haven't we? This is the end of the first part of Behind the Bike Shed, and when we come back, actually, before we go, I'm going to tell you, I have been self-isolating on cycle runs for years. I'm always left out the back of them, way behind. Yeah. And when we come back, we might even find out why Keith Moore... Well, why does he have to block the picture over his fireplace with his cycle jersey? So coming up next here on Behind the Bike Shed here on Cambridge 105 Radio, we shall be the first of our new feature, which is Guest on a Bicycle, and they shall be taking part in Spin That Wheel.
Behind the Bike Shed with Phil Minot on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Coming up now, we shall be visiting for the first time our Guest on a Bicycle feature. This is when we ask somebody, a cyclist, of anyone, you can just ride a bicycle. You don't have to be an enthusiastic cyclist. You could almost be one of those cyclists who rides a bicycle well, because it's the easiest way to get around town. You don't particularly like cycling. Today's guest is Tristan Rees-Roberts. Tristan Rees-Roberts is an architect, he's an award-winning architect, and you can't really go past any corner in Cambridge without going past a building he's built. I spoke to him this afternoon via Zoom, and this is the conversation we had. Cambridge 105 Radio. Tristan, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure.
And I understand we've taken you away from your giving lessons to your children in isolation.
Yes, they choose the subject every day, and it can be quite challenging for me.
But I suspect, because a lot of people in Cambridge will know you as an architect, so I suspect your grandchildren are presumably very creative and love maths. Would that be right?
They do love maths. They're all good at maths, I think. And I don't know, I mean, and they're pretty creative as most children are anyway.
Now, you're definitely very creative, because most cyclists around Cambridge, they probably don't know it, but I should imagine at least every half a mile they cycle past one of your landmark buildings from your very long career here in Cambridge. Garrick Hostel Lane Cycle Bridge. We call it the Cycle Bridge, but of course it's pedestrians as well. It goes across the Cam. And I would imagine there must be thousands of cyclists cycle past that most weeks. And I'm not sure how many cyclists would have the chance, if they're cycling into town, to look at the right of them. And there's this fantastic building, isn't there? Which you are the genius behind.
Well, I'm the architect anyway.
Yeah, and yeah. That's the Trinity Hall College, and that's their fantastic library, isn't it?
At all. The plan was, it's just that I extended the run of the Trinity Hall building, and it hit the river. It was a very small site, and it hit the river at an angle. And it's a bit like a piece of cheese. If you cut a sort of slab of cheese at an angle, then you get some quite interesting shapes. And that's how it happened. It was just that we had to sort of slice this pitched roof at an angle, and then you get all sorts of other interesting angles turning up.
Well, it's a beautiful landmark building in Cambridge, and I suspect it's probably the only place in Cambridge where tourists can actually stand and look across at studious students studying in the library.
Yes, so that's right.
It's a very
some people were a bit worried about that. They thought students wouldn't get any work done, but I think it's fine. Most students love it. Yeah.
Well, we're going to be talking about your cycling habits in just a moment, but on Garrett Hostel Lane Bridge, now I happened to be at a function where you were a few months ago, where actually they were hanging a portrait of you, weren't they, in the library, which was, yes. You know, not many architects get that, do they? So that's fantastic. And it's so nice to have a professional hanging rather than a scientist in a Cambridge building, isn't it? Yeah. We shall move on to that. Yeah. But during that evening, it was mentioned that the Garrett Hostel Lane Bridge, which obviously a lot of us cycle across, that's quite unique, isn't it, the construction of that? Or was it the time?
Yes, from what I gather, it's pre-stressed concrete. It's a big span of concrete. But what always intrigued me was, as I understand it, it was designed by a student, and I don't know when he was 18 or 19 or something, I think he died at 21.
Oh.
And I'm not sure he ever saw it finished.
Well, that's quite sobering, isn't it?
Yeah.
What a fantastic, though, memorial. And the thing is, lots of people use that every day, as I said, and they probably don't know that story, do they, cyclists? Now, of course, not all your buildings are quite, shall we say, that some of your buildings are more practical, aren't they, the ones you've designed over the years around Cambridge? Because I think the first time I met you, it was the official opening, wasn't it, of the public conveniences near Mitcham's Corner?
Yeah.
And we'll chat about how creative you are when it comes to public toilets. But what I remember most about it was the then mayor was about to cut the ribbon outside the cubicle, and literally just at the moment one of the cubicle doors opened, and a punter who'd been using the toilet inside walked out, didn't they, and there's a group of us standing there ready, and it's almost like, congratulations, you're the first person to use it. So and I know other people who were there at that time, I mention it, they often mention it to me as one of their highlights being around Cambridge.
I'm very proud of the job I did for Magdalen College, Cripps Court, just off Chesterton Road. It's a great big courtyard and so on. The Folk Museum, I like.
The Folk Museum is yours. So cool. I mean, that's had a superb transformation, hasn't it?
The entrance to Queen's College. There's quite a lot of buildings over the years I've done around Cambridge.
So you really have affected the face of Cambridge, haven't you, in many ways? Any of those projects you've worked on where bicycles have caused you a problem, or they've had to be prominent in your design?
I think because I'm a cyclist, I always just made sure our buildings were friendly to bikes, could accommodate bikes where necessary. From time to time, I built bike sheds in association with the buildings, you know. So, I mean, it's part and parcel of being in Cambridge, really. You've got to allow for bikes.
I think people would have worked out by now that you're, I mean, I think I'm right in thinking you're a lifetime cyclist, aren't you, more or less?
Yeah, I mean, again, I do remember learning to cycle, you know, in my grandmother's garden.
You hold that thought to yourself, sir, very neatly you have dovetailed us on to spin that wheel. Possibly, without doubt, possibly anyway, the best cycling quiz ever in the world. You will have 3 minutes to answer cycling related questions, and there's no prizes, just for glory. So Tristan Rees Roberts, are you now ready to play Spin That Wheel?
I am. Cambridge 105 Radio.
Spin That Wheel. What was your earliest memory of cycling?
Cycling round my grandmother's garden on a bike that was too big for me.
What type of cycling do you enjoy most now?
I really just potter around the town.
And how often do you cycle?
Every day.
Is that 7 days a week?
Yeah.
Well, okay. What sort of bicycle or bicycles do you currently own? And if you own more than one, which one's your favourite?
If you mean the style of bike, what would it be called? A city tourer bike sort of thing? Straight handle bike.
Hybrid, sit up and beg?
No, not sit up and beg, just straight handlebars, always with a basket.
Always?
Well, since I was, not when I was a schoolboy, but since then sort of thing.
And what would be the perfect dream cycle ride for you? Whereabouts in the world would it be and with whom?
Oh, I guess it would be with my wife, and I guess I would like to do a lovely long cycle ride, not too hilly, in Spain somewhere.
Oh, that sounds very good. Yeah, very nice. It's going to have a little while before we can do that, unfortunately. Yeah. What is the longest distance you have ever cycled?
Oh, probably not very far. I don't know, 10, 20 miles. No, I did a duathlon, 20-mile race, yeah.
Oh, well, did you have a sporting bicycle for that one?
No, I had no idea what I was going in for. I took the basket off, I oiled it up a bit, put a bit of grease and oil on, and turned up and found I was in an East of England championship. And out of 345 people, I came 343rd.
Brilliant. That's better than coming last, isn't it? Do you prefer cycling solo, or do you prefer cycling in the company of other cyclists?
Probably solo, I think.
What's the reason for that?
Well, it's not easy to chat to people on a bike. I mean, I'm a bit wary of going side by side, unless it's, maybe nowadays one can in lockdown, but generally I try and avoid going side by side.
Do you find cycling helps you give you time to think about your work in particular?
Yes, but in lockdown, I've been walking more, and I think you can think more when you're walking than when you're cycling.
Okay, and here's a question which I think with your professional hat on, you'll be able to answer. Mm. Which one improvement do you think would encourage more people to enjoy cycling?
Can you say that again?
Certainly can, yes. One improvement do you think would encourage more people to enjoy cycling?
I think it's safe cycle lanes. I think even Cambridge is still a bit nerve-wracking.
That was a really well done. We've used our 3 minutes, but let's go back to that last question, because I think most people would love to hear your answer. So I'll ask you again, which one improvement do you think would encourage more people to enjoy cycling?
I think safe cycle lane. It's, I hesitate to take a grandchild into the city centre, and not nowadays with lockdown, but normal times I would hesitate, because I think it's just still a bit dangerous.
Tristan Rees Roberts, thank you so much for the time you've given us, and more importantly, thank you so much for the fantastic buildings you've given us to admire as we cycle around Cambridge. Stay safe, and hopefully you'll be back to behind the bike shed again.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Take care.
Same to you.
Behind the Bike Shed with Phil Minot on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Thank you, Tristan Rees Roberts. A really nice guy he was. I could have chatted to him all day. He's one of those sort of interesting cyclists you get, when you start chatting to him. It's not just for cycling, it's the other bits and pieces they do. Did you know that about Garrett Hostel Lane Bridge, Rob?
Another interesting fact, but you're right. If you work in the middle of town and you talk to cyclists all day long, they're a fantastic group, and you'll always bump into at least two Nobel Prize winners.
Yeah, that's true. Martin, you're a builder, so you probably don't have a lot of time for architects, do you?
No.
Okay. Look, the student he mentioned was I looked it up, is a designer called, he was Timothy Morgan. It's a beautiful bridge, and architecturally, you know, our site, it's probably one of the earliest bits of cycling infrastructure without knowing it in Cambridge, to be fair. Like purpose built.
It's really fun to ride over.
It is, because usually when we're cycling across it, we don't look at the library, we look at the tourists, don't we? So talking about bridges, A14, beautiful cycle bridges. I think they're probably open, or certainly will be by the time this is aired.
There's certainly one bridge open.
The Boxworth one is open.
And have you cycled it?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet, but I will next time I go that way, I will, promise.
Swavesey Bridge is open. We're seeing some amazing pictures and videos on Twitter. If only I had time to go for a bike ride that far. It looks amazing. But we've heard that the A14 is open, but there's actually patches of the cycling infrastructure that are not open. And there seems to be, it's not quite so easy to get to the bridge, but those who have worked it out, it looks amazing.
Yeah, I don't want to come across as negative, but of course we had this issue, didn't we, about a year ago when the Highways England, they once again, it was like they were saying the Girton stretch between Barhill and Girton on the local road for local people. They said that was actually open, the cycle lane. And of course, I then went along with Mike Shillong, the journalist from Cambridge Independent, to do a review of it. And it wasn't, unfortunately. So, you know, they had this big announcement, didn't they, the other week, that the A14 was open, which, of course, it is for motorised traffic. But, you know, part of a package, really, particularly as the world has changed so much over the last 2 months, you know, cycling needs to be counted, doesn't it, as part of that?
Absolutely. And at the very least, just give us some clarity. And we see this with roadworks and various things all the time. They say the road is closed, but well, can you still walk down the road? Can you still ride a bike or get off your bike and wheel it on the pavement? We never know. And cycling is a legitimate form of transportation used by so many people here. We deserve a bit of that clarity. But also, you know, let's get excited that something's open. But if a great number of users actually can't join in that celebration, it's a bit disappointing. But to be honest, we've got other priorities right now. But seeing those pictures, it just shows what great cycling infrastructure could look like. That bridge looks amazing. I'm looking forward to going for a ride. But also in bridge news, the pieces of the Abbey Chesterton Bridge, which will form part of the Chisholm Trail, arrived just last week. Very, very exciting. Again, something where we would have loved to be out there with our flags and our pom-poms cheering on the arrival of this bridge, but we can't because we're all distancing. But we did send a Cam Cycle correspondent down there to get a bit of video, and it is very exciting to see that coming together.
Yeah, and it's in Cambridge blue as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very appropriately.
Yeah, and so it came in three pieces. So it's steel that was, I guess, these three pieces were put together in Sheffield and then had to get driven down and craned over. And now they've put those three pieces together and it looks like a boat. It's actually looking really lovely. And then they will use I believe it's the UK's biggest crane in a few months' time to crane that bridge into place.
And
that'll be amazing. And then hopefully they'll reopen the underpass. So you've got the pathway from the Green Dragon to Penditton, because that is such a used route.
Absolutely. And it should be improved now because it wasn't great before. So hopefully we'll get a new and improved route under the bridge, over the bridge, and then under Newmarket Road at some point when that underpass goes through.
See, I love bridges. And actually, you mentioned the UK's biggest. I won't bore you with them. Actually, there's probably a feature there, isn't it? Bridges of Cambridgeshire County. In fact, actually, one of the county council's bridge surveyors, I know, he's actually a very keen cyclist. So maybe we should get him on to chat about bridges sometime, yeah? No.
You'll need 2 hours. Yeah. You'll need two
and,
hours.
And you must come on Cam Ride Home. We have the Cam Bridges Ride every year. And we cross the Cam as many times as we can. I think it was 33 times in just over an hour last year.
Yeah, brilliant.
I actually walked under the Cam once, but that's a different story. We may be putting in a main sewer, but there's not many people can claim for that, can I? It's probably not the sort of thing most people would want to claim either, is it, thinking of walking
down the sewer? That's why I call you Scoop.
Okay, coming up next on Behind the Bike Shed Cycle Show here on Cambridge 105, we shall be talking about electric bicycles, we shall be talking about the NHS and fundraising, and we shall also be chatting to Rob about the state of the British cycle retail industry, which basically, Rob, is actually doing okay, isn't it?
Yes. Though most of the growth is elsewhere, because Cambridge is obviously a good place.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Behind the Bike Shed with Phil Minot on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Okay, welcome back. Now, in this last part of today's programme here on Behind the Bike Shed Cycle Show, I'm going to be chatting about a booming sector. Yep, there's one part of the British economy which apparently is doing really well. Rob, cycle retail, doing well?
Yes, it's marvellous. People are jumping on their bikes and getting out there, so... cycle shops are under pressure. In Cambridge, it's mainly repairs and doing that sort of thing, but also junior bikes, cargo bikes, so it's all running well. Other areas of the country are completely inundated. They have 2 weeks waiting lists, and again, running out of the mid-range bikes. You know, these 500 to 1,000 pound bikes are running out in various places in the country. But repairs are where we mainly are. People are pretty well equipped with bikes, so they're getting them out of the shed and getting them back on the road again, which is lovely to see.
So Keith, I know that you do work, don't you, in is it City Cycle Centre in Ely from time
I do indeed, yeah, but I'm furloughed from there at the moment, but I keep sort of a little handle on how they're doing. But like Rob's just saying, when this went to the lockdown, they were opening from 9 till 1. But they've now extended the hours simply because of the amount of work that they're getting for repairs particularly. And families are sort of one of the areas where they're suddenly getting not just the adult bikes, but the kids' bikes, and they all need a bit of small works doing to them. So they're really inundated at the moment with that. And they're also finding that, people are buying, like Rob suggested, those sort of mid-range bikes as well. So they've got a good turnover with the sales. So, you know, they've had a really good period during this lockdown. And I know as I was saying, I'm over in Bedford and there's a shop here that's doing very similar things to what Rob's doing with the nurses and doctors ensuring their bikes are serviced free of charge. And I actually did a small package for them as well, providing gilets and helmets for them. So they had some free kit as well to keep yourself safe on the road. So certainly at the moment, the industry is doing pretty well. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to butt in actually, because Rob, electric bikes, are they still popular? Or
growingly so, because it's a different sort of vehicle of transport. So quite different to a pedal bike. You can use it. They tend to be used in all weathers. People are reassured by the fact that they're not going to be battered by the wind, and it doesn't matter if they're feeling a little bit below par. So yes, electric bikes are very much here and coming on strong.
And I think people are actually considering electric bikes, or if they live, you know, more than 5 miles away, they're looking at, actually, am I fit enough to ride 5 miles? But actually, maybe an electric bike may be an option. So a girl at work in particular was asking, you know, can you actually hire electric bikes from anybody?
Yes, we're not all super fit athletes, are we? So we need all the help we can get. We hire them. At the moment, we're just bowled over by it. We need to catch up. It needs lots of cash investment. But it's a time, obviously, of uncertainty in businesses. So, yeah, all hours are hired out currently. We do hire them. It's difficult to do cost-effective long-term hire. Frankly, it's easier to buy if you use cycle scheme or green commute initiative. It's a very good way of purchasing one. Hire because of the high cost of the bike in the first place, is expensive. So it's good as a short-term thing to see if you're going to get on with it, to try it out, to see if you want to do that sort of job. It's generally not a commercially viable thing to do as a long-term.
But if this bike boom continues, will we run out of bikes? I've heard in Australia, bikes are like toilet paper.
Behind the Bike Shed on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now, early in the programme, Rob did mention electric bicycles, and I completely get electric bicycles when it comes to cargo bicycles and for getting people out on bicycles who wouldn't usually ride bicycles. However, I'm now seeing that they're starting to creep into sporting bicycles, and I've been looking at one, a Specialized Turbo Creo SL. Cost £11,000 almost. It's a lovely spec, but really, is that the spirit of cycling? Are people going to start turning out on club runs on electric bikes? What do you think to that, Keith?
Sean Yates, who used to be a professional cyclist, he rode in the Tour de France and wore the yellow jersey for a while in the Tour de France. He's had some serious health issues. I think he had heart issues, and I think he may have had a stroke as well. And of course, he was unable to keep up with his local club, but now he rides a Ribble e-bike, sports e-bike, and he's now able to maintain a pace with them. And I've also seen that there are studies that show that even though you may be unfit and using an e-bike, it will actually increase your fitness levels as well. So yeah, there is a place for them at that level as well.
You still have to pedal it, don't you, at the end of the day? So it's helping the muscles go around. So yeah,
I didn't realize you were so keen to talk about electric bikes, actually. So I think Mary was going to just contribute a bit there. Mary, where you gone? Mary, you were going to say,
I was just sort of saying, for somebody who's had health issues, the mental aspects of actually getting out and doing something that you really enjoy are just huge, you know, and you're now functioning as a person again, the person that you were. So I think that's really, really important and motivating.
Captain Tom, NHS fundraiser, yeah? Well, he's not on his own because... Oh, see, mine's all gone. It's all gone a bit weird, hasn't it? Maybe someone at Zoom's telling us to go home. No? Okay. Start again. Right. I'll tell you what we do. While we try to sort that audio quality out, and thank you for bearing with us if you're listening, I'm going to mention this because obviously everyone knows about Captain Tom and his brave and heroic fundraising effort for the NHS and the millions he's gathered. But also, someone else who was fundraising and still is for the NHS is Geraint Thomas. A Welsh, obviously, and a former winner of the Tour de France. Well, Thomas has been very vocal, actually, during lockdown about how sporting cyclists need to control themselves when they're out cycling to make sure that they don't end up in the A&E and strain the NHS even more. And he's been doing most of his training in his garage on a fixed road, so to speak, or rollers. And he, or Turbo, I suspect... And he cycled a trio of 12-hour shifts on his indoor trainer so that he could raise some money for the NHS. And he rode 1,220 kilometre over the 3 days, the 36 hours. And at the time of recording this, he has now raised just shy of £380,000 for the NHS. And if you'd like to fund the NHS, and you've been meaning to do it and haven't done it yet, you can find his fundraising page on GoFundMe.com.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Thank you very much to all our contributors today, which are, of course, Roxanne Dubow, Rob Turner, Mary Twitchett, Martin Holland and Keith Moore. And if you would like to follow us here on Behind the Bike Shed Show, please do. And you can find us on Facebook. Also, thank you to Tristan Rees-Roberts for taking part in our guest on a bicycle and spin mat wheel. And thanks to Tony Barnfield for voicing the spin mat wheel. Behind the Bike Shed is a Barking Hound production for Cambridge 105 Radio. And if you're out on your bicycle, do stay alert and stay safe.
Behind the Bike Shed on Cambridge 105 Radio.